morning, almost afternoon. I feel a little inferior. We had a DJ do communion, a DJ speak first on agape, and a teacher speak second. I'm a caseworker, so I'd feel better just taking you into a cubicle and asking you about your personal problems. But none of us wore ties because it actually wasn't a teaching. It's an exhortation. So Russ's rules still apply. The one with the tie teaches. I think we're, in this assembly especially, we're very familiar with agape. If you want teachings on agape, it's easy to find. We hear it all the time. And like Will said, repetition is good. And we, I think we have a good grasp on it. I think it comes down to heart and choice, what we're going to do with what we hear. As with any truth that we hear, what are we going to do with it? And we, like Brandon said, we did recently hear that teaching on emotions, that we're commanded to control our emotions, you know, turn them off and on. And emotion is most often our natural flesh reaction to what we hear. It's the thing that usually happens first. And so we need to develop a primary system to control that emotion. And just as emotion is natural, agape is unnatural. It's a supernatural trait that we would not have as we're told to operate in it. And it's commanded. It simply, John 15:17, these things I command you, that you love one another. And he doesn't give commands without provision. And what better provision than the fact that we have the one who is agape? He is dwelling in us. I mean, what does it take to be identified as a concept? You know, if I came up here and said, I am freedom, what does that even mean? There's a person who is agape. And you don't see him, but he is in you. He fills you, and he is agape. So that means for us, we're full. Just like this glass is full, we're full of agape, the one who is agape. And he's given us everything we need to conquer the flesh and operate in it. So I knew there were three of us going to speak on agape, the same thing, and I just wanted to try to come up with a little different angle than I thought might be told, and I think I did here. The rest of my exhortation is geared toward those in the assembly, anyone who doesn't feel loved, doesn't feel like a recipient of agape from the brethren. And I've been thinking about this for months, maybe even years at this point, but safely months. And what I would say to one who says, I don't feel loved by the brethren. So let me go back into my cubicle and pretend that I'm talking to one person who doesn't feel loved. I would want to encourage you to consider the source. Consider your source of agape devotion. And Brandon talked about this. There is overlap, but repetition is good. So as a believer, you are the recipient of the one who is agape. There's your source. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. He's the seal of your salvation. And does he not completely supply your need for agape? Does he leave any part of you not full, half empty. And it's a rhetorical question. I mean, his supply is never ending, everlasting, and all sufficient. So, considering your source and how you are filled with agape, man is not the source. Others are not your source. And well, there is interaction, but the source of agape, you have it, complete, full, never ending. And so you have two choices. You can put a lid on it and be full of agape in a closed container, or you can pour it out. But to say that you are not full is a lie told to you by your emotions. It's an emotional reaction. You're feeling, you're saying, what about me? And feeling unloved. And it's really not an option, because you cannot be less than full, having the source within you. So my prescription for your feeling unloved is to recognize Him as the source and choose to pour out His agape that's in you. And if you pour it out, He'll keep supplying you afresh, and you'll never be less than full. Where do you pour it? Well, Doug talked about this, and I won't repeat the, maybe I will. Luke 6:32, beginning there, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Well, it's funny, because so much of our concentration when we talk about agape is one another, like within our assembly, loving each other. That's the easy one. That's the easy part. You're loving those who love you, whether you feel that way or not. Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do this. And if you lend from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. Think about that in terms of devotion. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, which is against the world. I mean, to lend without expecting back is just a ridiculous notion to the world. It's bad business. Don't do it, according to the world. But he says, your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He's kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So the recipients, where we pour out our agape, just about everywhere. Do good to all men. Love one another. Love your enemies. I mean, most of us might be hard up to even figure out who our enemies are. I'm sure we have them. And I remember Pastor Timothy giving the good example of the professor who just hated him on campus, hated him, and kept threatening him to no avail. And Timothy's response was to buy him a pen, a gift pen, to do good to those who hate him. And I don't remember the rest of the story. You'd have to talk to him about it, but that's always the example in my mind of loving your enemies. We need to view ourselves not as a container with a lid on it, but as a conduit. We're a conduit for the flow of agape to get to others. And the agape thinker thinks in one direction, acknowledging the source, and sees the river flowing from God through him and into others. And the agape thinker is not focused on requiring his brethren to swim upstream, up the river of agape, to supply his need. The source fills the cup, and the cup runs over into the brethren. And I was trying to fit in a salmon motif into this. It's just not working. I tried to do it, but kept thinking of the upstream. Actually, at the end, I did a little exhortation called "Don't Be Tonsils" that I was pretty excited about, and people who heard it, I think, remembered it. So I was hoping to come up with, you know, "Don't Be Salmon" or something to that effect. Just didn't work. So agape, Doug and Brandon said, it's not self-seeking. And it will never cause you to ask, what about me? How are people devoted to me? If you ask these questions, then I would say that you're trying to fill your need from two different sources. From God and from the brethren. But you have one source, and he is sufficient. And your focus is on you as a container, seeing yourself as only partially full or half empty. And that is led by emotion. It's like you're building a dam on the river of agape and blaming others for drying up the river. And we should be about loving others, whether it's easy or difficult, whether it's the brethren or your enemies. And our outflow is not... Our outflow is not dependent on the response that you get back. That's trying to cause it to come up in the other direction. It's forcing a two-way street on a one-way street. So you always want to be recognizing your source and the one-way direction from that source. How can you look out for the good of others if you're looking in the other direction at yourself? So if you have these thoughts, catch yourself. You know, that's the mechanism that is produced from your heart, from your choice, to say, these are emotions. What am I doing with these emotions? Are they right? Are they godly? Are they sin? Develop the mechanism to catch yourself and to remember the source and flow of your devotion. Battle against the natural by accessing the supernatural, the one who's in you, the one who is agape. And act according to your sanctified, renewed mind rather than to your emotional reflexes. I mean, we're born natural. The emotions are reflexes. Most of the time we don't have to decide how to emote. We emote naturally. And like I said, most of the time the natural is sin. So one possible way to readjust, shift gears, get out of the mindset of feeling unloved, getting out of the mindset of focusing on yourself. And I do this, and it works. Stop and bask in the reality of who you are and what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're an heir of God through Christ. And Christ is heir of all things. That's Galatians 4:7 combined with Hebrews 1:2. You're an heir of God through Christ. And Christ is heir of all things. You lack nothing. And this basking, I mean, it's realigning with spiritual reality. And it'll produce emotions, but they'll be correct emotions because they're the result of correct thinking. You'll come out of this kind of contemplation feeling grateful, thankful, complete, filled, satisfied, excited, energized, joyful, even happy. If you can turn off the switches, and I was just thinking, you know, we close our eyes when we pray, not because we're commanded to close your eyes when you pray. We're blocking out the world. We're refocusing on what you can't see. It's hard to be imagining the unseen when you're focused on the seen. And there is a reason to close your eyes when you want to concentrate on the unseen. But this kind of, I call it basking. I don't know a better word for it. You hear of him being, you know, brighter than the sun, lightning whitest. I mean, you can just bask in that. You know, it's like being at the beach and looking straight up at the sky. You're basking, you know. Bask in who he is and remember who you are because of him. And you should feel like living for him by loving for him. The byproduct of this, and it's not, it almost sounds like it goes against what I'm saying, but loving others sometimes will produce others loving you. It's a byproduct. It's not a focus. But if we're all loving others, at some point it's going to come back and hit you. Somebody's love is going to end up hitting you. But you got to be available, and you got to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. Sometimes it's action. Sometimes it's activities. A lot of times agape is attitude. Your attitude toward others that they don't know. They don't know if you love them or not, but that's where it starts. You know, when you want to regroup within yourself, you can decide how you're gonna feel about other people. And that's what you have to do when you don't feel loved. If you don't feel loved, you're not gonna feel like loving. So you gotta start at some point and bask in his goodness, knowing, recognizing who you are, but also use your mechanism, your supernatural mechanism to turn off your emotional switches and decide, I love these people. And it'll change you. That's all I got. Grace and peace.